Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Oh, precious, loyal Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for tuning in. The first 2 hours, it's really emotional. This is going to be a Dresden month, and we talked about that when I opened up the first segment. I gave the outline, the first 2 hours, Dresden month. We're still going to do some stuff on Dresden with the Bitter Ender. But the Bitter Ender is also going to cover something extremely emotional, heart-wrenching. We call it the Knoxville Massacre of Christian Newsom and Channing Christian, two precious, precious, beautiful white children. I'll say children, maybe early 20s. They're children to me. But they were brutally, the torture was just beyond comprehension of a normal white person. I mean, it was up there like with the torture of Dresden. The only thing, they didn't have hot asphalt and napalm and stuff like the white phosphorus in Knoxville. But Brother the Bitter Ender is going to cover that. And Brother Bitter Ender, thank God he's in right now. And we're going to, without me blabbering further, we're going to bring the Bitter Ender. He's got a great program. He always has a fantastic program. And we were just talking about how I catch this despise that so-called Jew stripes and stars and stripes. But anyway, go ahead, Bitter Ender.
I know you all really covered this the first 2 hours, but I was doing a little research and came up on some interesting facts about Dresden. And, you know, that was the terror bombing that the Allies pulled on this city, which was mostly civilians, and I think y'all probably covered that, from the 13th through the 15th of February in 1945. And it was intended to terrorize the civilian population. There weren't that many military targets there. And the thing I read, I really admire David Irving, the British historian, and they hate him in Britain, and they threaten to arrest him anytime he goes to any country in Europe because he tells the truth. And in today's world, run by the communists and the liberals and the progressives and the touchy-feely people and the Jews and the news media and print media and everything, you can't tell the truth. And that's why they want to hang him, because they say his history's not accurate because he's a hoax denier. And he never denied that things happened, and he's not saying that the Jews that died in these work camps was a good thing. He just said it's been greatly exaggerated, and the Jews have used it to gouge money out of Germany and a lot of these other countries and build these hoax memorials and all this garbage like that, which is propaganda, basically. So anyway, this is some interesting things he came up with, and I thought we'd just pass them on, and then we'll get into our third hour here. The whole idea behind it was to terrorize the civilian population and get them to force the German army to surrender. And the German army was going to fight as long as they could because they knew what was going to happen if the Russians came in from the east. It was really going to be a slaughter of the German people, and they were going to take over wherever the Russian army came. They were going to take over. And Churchill and Roosevelt gave away Eastern Europe to the Russians, to the communists. And they talk about the war to preserve democracy and all of this. It was the war to save democracy. It was a war to save Eastern Europe for the communists is what actually happened. And it was called the worst massacre in European history, the attack on Dresden. And David Irving said it was the Hiroshima of Germany, referring to the atomic bomb that was dropped on the Japanese. This had a high body count, as bad or worse than Hiroshima. And it was just conventional bombs and the napalm and the incendiary bombs that were used to start all these fires there. So anyway, I thought that I would pass that on to our listeners tonight. Glad to be on. I had a small medical problem. I was out working this afternoon and had something pop in my back, just a muscle spasm. And I want to pass this on to our listeners. I'm doing a lot better now. Pass this on to our listeners. For 25 years, I worked for my brother with a mobile sports medicine program in professional rodeo and in auto racing. And a lot of times we'd have guys from pit crews that come into the truck, and they're all bent over, and they couldn't straighten up. And we go, what happened to you? He said, well, I lifted up an engine block, and my back went out. I said, I thought they had one of those hydraulic things for that. He said, oh, yeah, I know. But we were in a hurry, got in a hurry for qualifying and shouldn't have lifted that much weight. So if that happens to you, and this is not chronic pain, you're doing fine, and all of a sudden you bend over and something pops in your lower back, feels like somebody stuck a knife in there, first thing you do, lay down on the ground or the garage floor or the floor in the house, some kind of solid surface there, not a bed, and pull one knee up to your chest and hold it for about 15 seconds. Then pull the other knee up to your chest and hold it for about 15, 20 seconds. Then both knees up, hold it for about 15, 20 seconds. But do not bounce. Pull your legs up slowly and just push it to the point where it's tight, and then let it go back down, and then do that three or four times with each leg and then pulling them both up. And what you're doing, it won't cure it. But if you do that immediately and stretch out, the pain in your back and that tightness and hurting every time you bend over is going to be a lot less than if you say, oh, well, I'll take care of it tomorrow, or I'll go by the doctors tomorrow, or I'll do something tomorrow, because it's going to keep tightening up overnight and get even more stiff. So as soon as it happens, lay down on a hard surface, pull your knees up to your chest, and if you can, bring your knees up to 90 degrees and do a trunk twist. Just lay both knees over to your right and then over to your left and back and forth. And once again, do not bounce, whatever you do, because then you're just putting extreme pressure on that. But go a little ways and let it stretch, and then if you can go a little further and let it stretch. And then the other thing is, sit up in a chair or on the tailgate of your truck or running board of the truck or something, and just lean forward and put your head, try to get your head down between your knees. But once again, do not bounce. Just go slow, and it's tight. Stop there, catch your breath, and let your weight pull your head down just a little bit more, and stop and catch your breath and a little more. That will help you out more than anything you can do for the next 3 or 4 days to get it loosened up. So you listen to Blood River Radio and you learn all kind of neat stuff.
Sure do.
I did that one time. I was unloading a ditch witch off a trailer and taking it back to Home Depot where we'd rented it. And I just reached over and all of a sudden felt something pop in my back. So I just lay down in the parking lot and pulling my knees up to my chest. The guy head of the rental department, he comes running out of Home Depot. He thinks I'm having a heart attack. And I'm going, no. Give me about 2 minutes to stretch out, and I'll finish getting this thing off the trailer here. And he says, oh, no, we'll get it. He was afraid I was going to sue him or something. I said, no, just give me a couple of minutes to stretch out, and it'll be a lot better. So anyway, something to think about if you run into that mess again. So
Junior,
we've covered our medical part of the program.
Yes, we have.
And we put in some more information on Dresden, but I know we talked about covering this horrible thing that happened up in Knoxville in 2007. It was the torture, mutilation, and murder of two young people there in Knoxville, Shannon Christensen and Christopher Newsom. And this was in January of 2007. They'd gone out on a date. They were going to meet some friends, and they never showed up for this party. And the friends thought, well, maybe they forgot. So they went over to their apartment. There was nobody at the apartment, and their car was gone. And so they figured they must have been out somewhere. And what happened to these two young people, they were carjacked by a gang of these black animals. That's the only way you can call them, just vicious,
yes,
feral animals. And it was such a horrible thing that you really can't believe that humans could do this to another human. But then when we're talking about some of these blacks, we're not talking about humans.
Humanoids.
We're talking about, you know, vicious, vicious animals. And you, when you hear what happened to these two young people, they were three blacks carjacked them. They took them to a house they had there in the darky town of Knoxville. They sexually assaulted Christopher. They forced him to walk along the sodomized him, walk along the railroad tracks. He was shot three times, and the final shot that killed him was execution style, right through the head. He was wrapped in a blanket and set on fire, and the body was left there on the by the side of the railroad tracks. He did nothing to them. He was just in the wrong place. He and his girlfriend were in the wrong place at the wrong time. It wasn't like they were actually out, you know, attacking blacks or burning down black churches or anything like that. They just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And to have these house full of animals turn on these two young people like that, it's actually hard to believe. He was the lucky one, really. They killed him that night. And we'll get back and tell you what they did to Shannon after the break. And that's even worse.
Yes, and our people, they need to hear every gory tale so know what these poor, abused blacks have, what they have to go through in life. Be right back, folks.
Step into the boots of the American West with Range Magazine, where grit meets grace. This is a front row seat to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of ranchers, farmers, and stewards of the land. From jaw-dropping photography to no-nonsense reporting, Range brings you the untold tales of life on the range. Whether you're a city dweller with a cowboy's heart or living life where the pavement ends, Range speaks to the soul of the West. Subscribe today at rangemagazine.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Go ahead, make my day.
Oh, Blood River Radio faithful, we're going to go right back to the scene of the crime that the bitter ender was talking about. Yes, you know, when Christopher Newsom, when he was sodomized repeatedly by different foreign, you know, by the blacks themselves, the animals they are, or the filthy animals they are, and also with foreign objects, for instance, like Coke bottles, 2x4s, etc. And they made sure, the blacks made sure that it was in full view of his girlfriend, Shannon Christian. And they did it repeatedly, and they beat him, and just like the bitter ender said, they got through with him, they poured gasoline on him. They tried to burn him up to get rid of the evidence. But like Gene said, he was really the luckier of the two. The Shannon, the girl, she was raped for I don't know how long, how many days it was, Gene, but
it was
three days,
Eddie. They killed him the first night. So as horrible as it was, you could say that he was the lucky one. He got it over with and just a few hours, but they kept her alive for 3 days and repeatedly raped her and sodomized her and beat her. And they violently kicked her repeatedly in her genital area. One even poured bleach one of the black animals poured bleach down her throat to destroy any DNA evidence of what they'd done to her. And then the thing that they did after that that was so horrible, believe it or not, she was still alive. They wrapped her body in a large trash bag, and then they wrapped her head in a white plastic grocery sack and stuffed her body into a trash can where she finally suffocated to death. Mercifully, she finally died. And that was what happened to this young couple in Knoxville. And they were minding their own business. They weren't out harassing blacks or marching in a protest and saying, you know, blacks need to be kicked out of Knoxville or anything of the sort. They were minding their own business. They were going out to meet some friends to go to a party. And it's down in Old Town in Knoxville. And that's kind of like Beale Street in Memphis or Lower Broadway in Nashville. It's where all the bars and restaurants and things like that, musical entertainment is located in Knoxville. And, you know, the really scary thing about this is my daughter, when this happened, my daughter was a junior at UT in Knoxville and living off campus in an apartment. And I talked to her about it and said, yeah, we heard it on the local news. And of course, there were a lot of rumors and stories going around. But the really bad thing about this was it never got any national attention. As horrible as something like this was, it got zero. The reason being the Duke rape trial, the other, fake news there.
Yes.
Was going on, and they wouldn't want to say anything against the blacks when they were accusing these Duke University fraternity members of raping and attacking this black whore that they had perform at a fraternity party. And then it turned out it was a hoax, that she was just trying to gouge money out of them. And they shut down Duke University, shut down the fraternity, kicked the fraternity off campus. Several of these boys were kicked out of school. And, you know, that maybe they weren't perfect gentlemen of paying this black whore to come and perform for them at this party, but they certainly didn't attack her sexually. And that was the whole point of it. But there were several of them that were kicked out of school. And then it came to light that the whole thing was a hoax, and she'd lied about it and just trying to get money. But all of this was going on. It hadn't been proven to be a hoax yet, but all this was going on at the same time that this horrible actual murder had occurred in Knoxville, Tennessee, just over the mountains from where Duke is. And so the news media, you know, the lying cur dogs in the news media, they didn't want to take the spotlight off of Duke University and these evil white boys and what they'd done to this, this poor black innocent woman. She's a whore, you know. So,
and of course she was.
Always had been. And just trying to gouge money out of them. And so that's the thing that's so infuriating about a lot of this stuff. They cover up these vicious, horrible crimes that these blacks commit. And then anytime a white person says boo to them, then it's national news for that night after night after night after night. And, you know, we've had so many of these racial hoaxes like Twana Brawley in New York, and then the Duke lacrosse team, and then the Gen 6 in Louisiana, and then, good Lord, St. George Floyd.
Michaels.
Yeah, the Michaels. Yeah, and down in Georgia. And then who was the guy that was the actor or something up in Chicago that hired the two black guys to beat him up and said they were wearing MAGA hats, and they found out that was a hoax. And and that was published, you know, oh my gosh, when that story broke, that was headline news on ABC and CNN. And, here are two couple of Trump guys that beat this guy up, and then come to find out they weren't a couple of white Trump guys. They were two black guys. And he paid these two thugs to beat him up, to make a story out of it. And he was on some TV show. I can't remember what it was. I can't even remember the clown's name now. Not even worth remembering. But that's why the news media was diverted away from Knoxville and focused in on Duke over in North Carolina, Duke University in North Carolina. They didn't want to report this story. And I talked to my daughter about it. She said, yeah, it was on the local news, but it was never on national news. And they said, it was pretty scary then to go out at night on the UT campus, which wasn't very far from where this took place, if you were going out at night on campus, or if you were even off campus at an apartment, because they jumped these people and carjacked them. Newsom and Christopher Newsom and Shannon. And, you know, it wasn't like they were out walking along at 3 a.m. drunk and swaggering down the sidewalk or something and got pulled over and thrown into all of this mess because they were easy targets. They were in a car, and they got carjacked. And then all of this sort of stuff happened to them, which is really, you know, just says a lot for multiculturalism. Sorry, had to throw that in.
Yes.
So they were both killed, tortured, then killed. Then the thugs that they finally caught, LaMarcus Davison, the leader, the trial, he was given the death penalty by lethal injection. I think that was overturned. George Detroit Thomas got life in prison without parole. Rome Gobbins, life without parole. Dwayne Boyd, 18 years, and then they retried him later and found out he had a lot more to do with it than they originally thought, and he was given a much longer sentence. And then the lady that ran this house where all of this took place, Vanessa Coleman, got 53 years, and then appeals and appeals and appeals. She got a new trial, 35 years. And then she came up for parole in 2014, which was denied, and came up for parole again in 2020, and it was denied again. Thank goodness. Finally, somebody woke up in the judicial system. Yeah, go ahead, Eddie.
Oh, I'm just going to say a couple of points here. I had a friend, his idiotic liberal parents threw him into an all-black high school. He was only white there. He lasted like 2 days, and they were so brutal to him. He told me that the black girls in this high school were much more vicious than the black boys.
And,
so his idiotic parents, you know, highly religious and liberal, they wanted him to get a diversified education. Another point is that black whore that was, you know, suing the Duke University players. Last I checked, her breasts weren't cut off. They didn't cut her breasts off. They didn't pour bleach down her mouth. They didn't stick sharp wood pieces of wood up her vagina and up her anus. They didn't set her on fire. They didn't put sacks around her. I mean, and, you know, I'll tell you something else. I have personal experience with that. Several years ago, I called Knoxville. I tried to get one of the reporters that was in on that to come on, and there's no way in hell. All you got to do is mention, I knew the name at one time. All you have to do is mention the Knoxville massacre or name a Channing Christian or Christopher Newsom, and all you hear is silence. They will not touch that with a 20-foot pole. They're a bunch of cowards, sons of bitches. You know, I despise those people, and they're still covering that up to this day, Gene. Massive, out of control, just completely rampant black crime upon whites. It's always covered up. But we know why. The same old Judaic media. You know, they hate white people. But I tell you what, Gene, that's anybody coming to all black town in where there's a significant number of blacks. But one reason we do this is so you'll know what you white people out there, what danger you're in. Don't be a fool. Even if you're a liberal, if you've been taught, you know, that whites are evil and the poor blacks have been discriminated against, that's not going to help you any when you wind up in a plastic bag in the back of a car dumped off the Mississippi River. You need to know these people are, by God, animals. They're so vicious. I see it all the time here in Memphis. I don't consider them human. I really don't. I consider them humanoids, and that comes from, like, being around them. I'll be 78 years old in April, and I've lived around those sons of bitches. I lived around those animals from the time I was 13 years old till my dad got me out of an all-black neighborhood. What happened to Channing Christian and Christopher Newsom, I'm just by God lucky. They are the viciousness and the primitiveness, the hatred they have for white people, you just cannot imagine it. I had to sleep with a Sweet 16 Brownie in my bed, a 38 Special. I mean, I had to take different routes to school. I mean, I wished every white liberal had to live through like I lived 30 days. Be right back, people. We'll continue this when we come back to this break.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Trump today signing an order imposing tariffs on imports from Mexico, Canada, and China, fulfilling a campaign promise. Mr. Trump declaring an economic emergency to put duties of 10% on imports from China, 25% on imports from Mexico and Canada, except for a 10% rate on Canadian oil. The White House also says this move includes a mechanism to escalate the rates if those countries retaliate against the United States. Meanwhile, President Trump's approval rating on the rise.
Rasmussen reports daily presidential tracking poll for Friday shows that 52% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance. 45% disapprove. The latest figures include 39% who strongly approve of the job President Trump is doing and 37% who strongly disapprove. This gives him a presidential approval rating of +2. On January 23rd, he held a total approval rating of 56% and disapproval rating of 40% with an approval index of +6. 40% strongly approved of his performance and 34% strongly disapproved. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Also at townhall.com, Missouri Republican Congressman Mark Alford tells the Salem Radio Network, one federal program assigned to raise money to fight AIDS had some funds grossly mismanaged.
We just found out in the last couple of weeks that 21 abortions have been performed in recent years using this money. Is that something the American taxpayers want? No, it's a violation of the Hatch Act. It is a violation of everything that we stand for as Americans.
Democrats have elected Ken Martin, the party leader in Minnesota, to the National Party. Martin succeeds Jamie Harrison of South Carolina atop the Democratic National Committee. Harrison did not seek another term following the 2024 elections. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Heard me talk about Relief Factor and how so many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you'd want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free, too, with their three-week quick start kit for only $19.95. An easy, affordable way to see how it could literally change your life, like it has mine. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or eliminate pain. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Trying it couldn't be easier with their three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. And it just takes a phone call to 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Wherever you're having pain, every day you feel better is a day you live better. Try Relief Factor's three-week quick start. Visit ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF for Relief Factor.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, this has been an extremely emotional program. It's about stuff that Sister Monica and Brother Paul can relate to because they have relatives in Germany. It's this race crap with what happened to Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom. I can relate to that, and I know the Brother Ender can too, because I grew up in a neighborhood. You would have to experience it to see how horrible it was. No one can tell me about their precious Negroes, how mistreated they've been. You can't tell me crap about that, because I tell you what, I've lived with those southern bitches, and they're nothing but, by God, feral animals, and they're born hating white people. It's in their damn genes. I'm going to shut up now and go back to the Bitter Ender. Go ahead, Bitter Ender.
No, I think it's important that we do mention on an annual basis, and maybe two or three times during the year, the Knoxville Massacre and what happened to these young people and how horrible it was, the torture, the rape, the sodomy, being burned, being suffocated, and what they did to these two people that weren't doing anything to them. They weren't, they weren't trying to kick blacks out of their houses or...
They were born white. That's all it was. But go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was it. They were born white, and they were easy targets. And so I hope we're alerting our listeners to be aware of what could happen to you. Now, that doesn't mean that every time you see a black person on the street, you need to whip out your .357 and start firing away.
No, don't waste that much powder and lead. That's a waste of good metal.
Of where you are. Which leads us into another part of the program. Tuesday night, I went to probably the best class I've ever gone to in my life. Forget 4 years wasted in college. That was a waste of my money and the Georgia Athletic Department's money. There were only one or two classes in 4 years that were worth a damn. Rest of it was just garbage. This class I went to was one of the best. I went to some good classes in the Marine Corps. But as a civilian class, this was great. I went to a gun class. Nice. Our church asked some people to volunteer to help out with the security. And we have two uniformed security people there. They have the holster on their hip and handcuffs and everything. But they want some more people to kind of cover the halls and out in the parking lot, things like that, because churches are an easy target and schools are an easy target. And our listeners probably know they had a shooting at Antioch High School here in Nashville last week. And they had two resource officers there, but they weren't in the cafeteria. And this kid snuck a gun in and then whipped it out and started blasting away in the cafeteria. And so it can happen to you anywhere. So we had about 12 members from our church, and the church paid for it. This was a cool thing. Our church paid for it. And we went, and it went from 6 o'clock at night till 10 o'clock at night. Eddie, I'm telling you, I was writing stuff down as fast as I could, and I couldn't keep up with this guy, Bob, that was the head of the class. And they had four instructors, and they'd done this a lot of times. And like I said, it was so made such an impression on me of what I didn't know. And, I thought I'd been to Vietnam and I could handle a weapon and do all this. Well, good Lord, I hadn't shot like that in almost 60 years. And we were kidding.
Wow.
I said, yeah. And, I can't get on the radio and call back to 12th Marine Artillery at Dong Hai West and call in an artillery strike on a bad guy breaking into the church. We could get the bad guy, but we might get about 15 or 20 of the church people, and about three quarters of the building would be leveled. So I can't do that anymore. So, but just the things they came up with, like right at the first, the fellow from our church that organized this, he said, "You don't mind if we have a prayer to get started?" Of course, nobody's argued with that. They said, "No, great, go ahead." And I kind of glanced up, and the four instructors Everybody had their head down and their eyes closed, except two of the four instructors had their head up and they were looking out at us. And they got, we got through and they said, "Now we want to tell you, we're not atheists. We believe in the Lord. We believe in prayer. We believe, but you think about this. You got everybody in a church that has their eyes closed and their head down. Who's watching the front door? Who's watching the back door?" And just little things like that, that they were talking about. And they went through, you know, what you need to do. He's, this fella asked, I said, "How many of y'all carry a tourniquet?" And of course, nobody raised their hand. He said, "If there's a shooting and you got one of your church members down on the floor and he's a spurter, they hit a vein and that blood's spurting out, how are you going to stop it?" You know, so.
Great point. And he said, that's an excellent point, G.
And they said, "That's something that your security people need to carry. I mean, you can roll it up and put it in a pocket. You don't need an ambulance to run around, just a tourniquet in case they have a shooting there." And they gave us a lot of other tips about, you know, things to look for. And he said, "Now be careful. Here's something could happen." So they got one of the instructors down in front. We were in like a classroom with raised seating. Got down at the front, and he has a gun out. Of course, he checks it, makes sure there's no shells in it or anything. And he's pointing it out like he's got a gun on the bad guy. One of the other instructors comes in from a side door, and this guy turns around, and now the other fella, the other security, he's coming in there, and all of a sudden a guy turns around with a gun pointed at him. And he said, "This is where you get your own people killed." So he said, "That's something you need to plan, is having a signal or something you're wearing that you know you don't shoot your own people." And then they showed videos of some of these churches where some wacko comes in and starts shooting up the place, and, you know, people are running and hollering and says, you know, "How are you going to shoot all the way across the church and try to hit this guy that's 30 or 40 yards away from you?" And he said, "Do you have any radios?" You know, so everybody's on security needs a radio, and they need to call somebody and say, "Hey, we got a suspicious looking character coming out of the parking lot." And another thing he said, if you see somebody that you're very suspicious of, he's wearing a long overcoat and it's summertime. And he said, what I would do, he called somebody up front and he stuck out his hand and shook his hand, said, "Oh, we're so glad to have you here." Pulls him up close, bumps into his chest and reaches around behind him and pats him on the back. Like, "Oh, we're so glad to have you here. Welcome to Holy Roly Church," or whatever it is. And he's making sure he doesn't have something under that coat or a long barrel rifle back behind him. And, you know, it's just a lot of little things like that they're telling you. And then we did that for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Then they took us down to the shooting range. And the first thing they did, this is funny, they had you line up outside, and they had a table there, and you put I had a revolver. Most of the other people had a Glock, you know, semi-automatic. But you put your pistol down, and they tell you put four shots in there. And then they send you into this room, and I heard people hollering in there. I thought, what in the heck's going on? So they grabbed me and said, "Now, run if you can, or jog, or whatever. Get in there fast." So they shoved me through this door, and the four instructors were all hollering and carrying on and waving their arms. Says, "There's a shooter here. There's a shooter here. There's somebody. Oh, help, help." And I got to be buddies with one of the guys that was, the funny thing about it, he was in Vietnam the year before I was there. He was in 67, 68, and I came in the country in 69. So two Marines, we hit it off great. So he's hollering and running around, and he's running by me and says, "Oh, we got a shooter. We got a shooter. Somebody call Colonel Sanders. Oh, help, help, help." Just, you know, a panic situation. So they had four targets. They had a girl holding a pair of sunglasses up close to her black blouse that she was wearing. And the sunglasses were black. So if weren't real careful, it looked like she was holding a gun. And then further back toward the back of the room, they had a guy that did have a gun. It was a color photograph. These, you know, targets were life-size. And a guy in a black shirt, but he had a gun out beside him, pointed towards you. And then over to the left, they had a guy that was a black and white photograph. He had a gray shirt. He was holding a gun, but the gray gun and the gray shirt kind of blended together. And then right behind him was another target that had a guy with no gun. And so, you know, they said, "All right, shoot the guy with the gun. Somebody help. Somebody's got a gun. Shoot, shoot, shoot." And so I put four of mine on the guy at the far end that had the gun. They figured he looked worse than the other. I didn't even see the guy that had the gun over to the left because it was camouflaged, the gray gun, the gray shirt. And so they're talking about it, and after it's over, said, yeah, the girl with the sunglasses got shot about four or five times. She won't be coming back to church.
He's probably liberal anyway.
And he said, now here's the thing. Here's this guy over here that had a gun. And if you shot him and the bullet went through him and it didn't hit a bone, you're going to hit the church member that was unarmed standing right behind him. So he said, you have to really be careful on your target and where you aim. But if you're going to start shooting at a bad guy, and you know this guy's got a gun and he's the bad guy, but look what's behind him right there. So it was a lot of little things like that, Eddie. And that's why this, I thought this class was so great. And they have it again. I was going to go again and pay for it myself this time in February, and they're all booked up. So I'm going to go again in March because, like I said, there was so much that I didn't know. And, you know, you're in the Marines and you got all this ammunition, and we're over toward the Laotian border and somebody opens fire on you. We cut loose on them and everything we have, you know.
You didn't look for the lady with the sunglasses.
No, not out there in the jungle. I don't know how many monkeys and snakes I killed, but I burned up a lot of Marine Corps ammunition.
Poor old monkeys.
Okay, we'll come back right after the break for our last segment.
At least we have a little fun.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're finally having a little bit of fun on this hour. But you know what? Gene's giving you some really practical advice out there. And I tell you what, if you live in a city like Memphis, or not, Gene's telling me that seems like Nashville's getting almost bad as Memphis, man.
Yeah,
so you need to be totally aware of this right here. Don't just be walking around with your damn head in the clouds, you know. But go ahead, Gene.
Well, that's one thing they did in this program. And I know we've kind of gotten off the subject of the Knoxville massacre, but you can go back to it and say, maybe these people weren't really aware of what was happening in the area of Knoxville they were in. And that was a whole thing about this class, was saying, you know, the crazies are out there and the vicious animals are out there. And how are you going to defend yourself against these situations? And he was saying, not everybody wants to carry a gun. A lot of women that don't want to carry a gun, and a lot of guys that don't want to. And they asked me, I went to a Baptist church, and they had some people to, they didn't have any paid professional security people there, and they just asked some people in the church to be the security when all these, you know, shootings really cranked up and started going. So we went to a meeting, there's about 12, 15 of us, And this one guy says, well, I could never carry a gun. I could never carry a gun. I couldn't do that. And I said, well, what good are you going to do? Do you think some crazy guy comes in here with an automatic weapon? Are you going to run down there and sing Kumbaya with him or Jesus Loves the Little Children or something like that? They're coming here with a gun. They're going to kill people. So what are you going to do? And that was the same thing they were talking about in this class. Not everybody wants to carry a gun and be armed to the teeth. But he said, be aware of where you are and have a plan. If something happens, you don't want to panic and throw up your hands and be running around and around in a circle. You go into a building. Here's where I came in. How am I going to get out? You know, what's your plan if something happens? I'm at a gas station. Somebody pulls out a gun. They want to carjack me. What am I going to do? And that happened to my cousin in Memphis. And she was a doctor at St. Jude's, and they took her car away from her while she was getting gas, and it wasn't in downtown Memphis. It was out in the suburbs. And luckily, they didn't beat her up or shoot her. And when she got her car back in a couple of days, and it was all beat to hell. But anyway, at least Sherry didn't get hurt on that. And another thing he was talking about is do not go absolutely panic crazy. He was talking about a place where they had a concert going on, and it wasn't a shooting. But they had these pyrotechnics that would shoot up off the stage, and they caught the ceiling on fire. And the fire spread, and people panicked, and everybody rushed toward the front door to get out. And there were 400 people. 100 of them were killed in this.
Damn.
And most of them were killed because they got to the front door, and they couldn't get everybody through there at one time, and the people behind them kept pushing and coming on and trampled them to death. And they were either asphyxiated by smoke or, you know, serious injuries. He said the bad thing about it was nobody ever thought about going out the side doors. And they said it had a big window on one side of this place where it was, and said there were 13 people that died in front of that window. And he said all you had to do is pick up a chair and smash the window and go out. You know, so if you're in any kind of public building or even in your own home, they always tell you have a fire escape plan for your home. If the fire breaks out somewhere, how are you going to get out? The fire's close to the door, how are you going to get out a window? If the front door's blocked, can you get out the back door? If you can't get to the back door, how are you going to open a window, break a window, use a sheet to slide down the outside of the building or whatever you're going to do? So he's saying, you know, this is the world we live in. It's too bad, but you go out somewhere, you need a plan. Well, this happened to my wife. And we live out in the suburbs. We don't live close to downtown Nashville. And she always liked to go shopping early in the morning because she said the druggies and the drunks are usually sleeping it off early in the morning. So it was, you know, wintertime, still dark. She's backing up our driveway up to the street, and there's a pickup truck parked there. And she thought, okay, they turned around. We live on a dead-end street. They turned around. They're going back up the street.
Uh-oh.
They stopped right in front of our driveway. And she said, okay, you know, maybe they're looking for a house number. And they wouldn't move. And then she started waving, you know, go ahead. Yeah, you know, I'm coming back out. They still wouldn't move. And she did something you should never do. She rolled the window down and hollered at them, move, this is my house. Get out of here. Move, move. And finally they did leave. And so first of all, we were talking about it, and I said, well, first thing you do, don't ever roll the window down. Make sure all the doors are locked. And he said, the second thing is, don't hit your panic button on the horn, and that thing starts beeping. That happens so many times. When I hear it, I don't even look. It's just somebody hit the wrong button.
That's a good point.
You know, they hit an unlock, and they hit the red button. I said, if that happens again, you push that horn down and hold it down. And everybody in the neighborhood could hear that horn going continually. And then I said, instead of trying to get out on the road, just turn and come across our front yard and drive across our neighbor's front yard and get out of here any way you can. And I said, if I hear that horn down, I'm grabbing every weapon I got and coming out the front yard to see what's going on. But that's going to be our plan if that happens again. It may never happen again, but at least we have a plan that if that does happen and you're blocked in your driveway, don't try to get out and argue with these people. And it was too dark. She couldn't see the license number, and she just saw two guys in there. And she was thinking, well, they're just harassing some old woman, and they thought they could get away with that, you know, just harassing some old person that can't do anything. And I said, well, you never know. They may be trying to carjack you. And I said, you know, don't have your plan, happens again, or if you're over at Publix, you've gone over there to shop and somebody's messing around in the parking lot, lock your doors and get on the horn and just make a noise and try to get help to you. So that was the main emphasis of this class, was to have a plan ahead of time and assume that they're bad guys out there. And if something happens, how are you going to get out of the building? And where's the closest exit to get out of? And don't think you can go back out the front door, because that's where the crazy person came in to start shooting. And where's your alternate exit to get out of there? So that's a little bit off our subject, Eddie, but I was so impressed with that class, I just wanted to pass that information on to our listeners. And if you ever have a chance to go to a self-defense shooting class or self-defense class or something like that, I highly recommend it. That's not wasted money, because you may be a small 5 foot tall woman and you may not be wind up being a karate expert, but they'll tell you a lot of things that you can think about to plan ahead so you don't get caught in one of these situations. And
you know what?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Well, wait a minute. I was just going to point out, if Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom, if they'd have had even the smallest little 22 automatic or a little 38
yep.
special, they wouldn't have had. If they'd have had that, they'd still be alive today. If they'd yep. had any idea how to use it, they'd be alive today. But I didn't want to
exactly.
hear
it.
People need exactly to arm right. themselves. I mean, if you don't want to carry a gun, well, just go ahead and die. But that's a choice individual people have to make. But
well, I it's a shame that that's the society we live in today, that you
yes,
have to
is.
Plan this sort of stuff. When I was growing up, I was planning on when we go over to Shoney's after a ball game. That was a big thing. Who could I get a date with? You know, that was
yeah.
my main concern. Back. I never thought about anything like this happened, because it never did. You never heard about it. But
no,
now, it's a common occurrence. And there's a lot more times than what you hear on the news. And, they do put a lot of it on the local news. I had a friend of mine said, if it weren't for blacks, we wouldn't have any local news on TV.
This won't take long. This is a funny story. This happened to me about, I'm going to say 20 years ago. I was in one very nice part of town. I pulled in a gas station, my old pickup truck, and I had my trusty 45 in my lap. And this darkie comes up, coming right to my, at high speed to my window. I had my window down, and he comes up, and I put that 45 up in his face. He said, man, you don't have to put no gun on me. I said, oh, this? What makes you think this is a gun? It might be a cigarette lighter. But you know what, Hoss? You might be right. It might be a gun. Why don't you go ahead and find out? But if you say, how bad is your curiosity? Go ahead and make a move. But anyway, I was ready
go
to
ahead,
rock and roll.
Make my day.
That's right, buddy. But
I think
he
I've heard that line before on Blood River Radio.
That's true. I think that actually happened. That coon did not want to find out if that was not a cigarette lighter. But that's funny right now. But you have to have your hand on the damn thing if you're in the wrong part of town. And Memphis is just about the wrong part of town. Gene, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you've been this is a great practical class. It all relates back to what we're talking about the Knoxville massacre. If they'd have been armed, they'd be alive to this day.
Yep, exactly. And they thought they were just going out to a party at some friend's house, and they weren't hauling a whole bunch of booze, and they weren't drunk, and they were not high on smoking any dope or anything. They were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. And these feral animals got them, and they figured out they were a young couple, and they probably weren't armed, which they weren't. And they just their animal instinct came out to torture and murder these young people. And it was a horrible, horrible thing that happened. But to our listeners out there, don't ever think that it couldn't happen to you.
Yeah, right. It happens every day. It happens every day. And the sad part of it, I think, Gene, I have to do a little bit of investigation. I think they got abducted from a parking lot in a pretty nice apartment complex. But that's something
yep.
we have to research for a different show. Well, thank you so much, Bitter Ender, for coming in And thank you, Miss Lizzie, for running the board flawlessly. And thank you, Monica and Paul, for coming on. And thank you, Blood River Radio audience, for keeping us on the air. And keep in mind, take to heart what the Bitter Enders talk to you tonight. Get armed or get dead. So, people, God bless you. We'll be here same time next week. What will it be? The 8th of February. And we'll have a couple of surprises in store for you. We got a DEA agent scheduled to come on. Maybe the Bitter Ender can help me interview him. But we got some other stuff, but I'm about to run out of time. So, God bless you. See you same time, same place next week. Good night, everybody.